Morning, everyone. How are you doing this morning? I'm good. So we've been doing this fire starter series, and we've been focusing on this acronym SALT. How do we engage? We engage through SALT, and S stands for start a conversation. Whenever you have to speak to someone, you initiate the conversation and you start talking to them. And then A stands for ask questions, you know, so that you can know about other people. And then listen to their story, right? And then tell your story, which is what Sean did for the past 2 weeks. And now we're going to talk about telling God's story. So you can't tell people what you don't know. So we're going to check and see what God's story is. So, who knows this guy? Anyone? All right. His name is Will Wright, and I bet you guys know what he has done. You don't know him, but you know what he has done. He is the creator of Sims and SimCity. Sims, the game. Sims and SimCity. And he has created another game called Spore. And this is all about how people evolved, or how these characters are evolving through the game. And here is a few photos from the game. And here's another one. Debbie was complaining that I pointed her out, but I want to point Mark out. That he's the one with the hat, with the helmet over there, and one eye. And there's 5 stages of evolution in this game, right? The first stage is the cell stage, and you know what a cell is. You guys all go to school, right? So you should know what a cell is. The thing with the nucleus and the cell membrane and all that. And the second stage is the creature stage. So from a cell, then you become a creature. And after becoming a creature, you join a community, you become part of a community or the tribal stage. And then after that, you live in the civilization stage, right? But these guys are so awesome that they don't just end there. They go to the space stage. You know, when I looked at this and I thought about it, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what people think evolution is, or how that's how a lot of people view evolution. I mean, we have people signed up to go live in Mars. So it's how people see or view evolution. And evolution is the story of life on Earth. But it's man's story. You know, it's how us as human beings think about things. A lot of people will tell you about how evolution is. Evolution will tell you that this garden has no designer, that this garden has no intelligence behind it, just came, it naturally just was there, right? And it doesn't have a gardener, so things just happened. But now when we get to God's story, we find out that things are different. God's story is different from human story, from man's story. We're going to watch a video clip just to see God's story. Now, what is God's story? That video was just amazing. I really love watching it. What is God's story? Firstly, God exists forever. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God exists forever before and forever after, meaning that he was there in the beginning and even before the beginning, and he's still going to be there even after the end. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Secondly, God created the world. God created us. He created everything that you see. He created the trees. He created the birds. He created the oceans, the seas, everything. And when he looked at it, when he was done, he looked at it and said, it is good. And then after creating all that, God created humans. He created Adam and Eve. And when he was done creating Adam and Eve, he looked at them and said, wow, this is good. This is very good. I've done a good job. So God created a perfect person. God created a person with no sin, but then sin came into the person and separated the person from God. So sin separates us from God. When sin came in, it rejected God's authority. God told them not to eat in the tree of knowing good and evil, but they did anyway. You know, Eve went first and then Adam came in and also ate later. And then they were separated from God because of sin. So sin separates man from God. So what happened afterwards? People tried to please God through religion because we are created by God. We belong to him. So everybody knows that there's a higher power. Whether you are atheist or not, you know that there's a higher power. So people tried to please God through lots and through many religions. But God is not religious. God wants us to have faith. That's all. And when religion failed, people end up in rebellion. People rebel against God. We do all sorts of things. You know, we lose hope. But then, God has a plan to rescue us. God has a plan to rescue his people. Can I sneeze?
Okay, it's gone now. Yeah, but God has a
plan to rescue his people. God has a plan to rescue us. And the plan is God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and be born and be a man, and then to die for us on the cross, and then for him to go back to heaven. Why did Jesus Christ die for us on the cross? To save us. It's to save us from our own sins. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself, sacrificed his life for you and me. So Jesus Christ came, he was born, and he preached, he walked around, and he told God's story, actually, and then he died for our sins, and then he rose again. Who has ever done that? Who has ever done that? No one can ever claim. There is no any other, let me say, religion that can claim that their God has done that for them. None. And then people were saved through Christ, who is the bridge, right? People are saved only when they repent and believe in Jesus Christ. People are saved only when they repent. Repentance means if you've sinned before, if you're living in sin, it means now you're rejecting the sin. You're coming out of that sin. You're leaving it completely. That's repentance, and you're never going to look back. That's repentance. And you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in God himself. So Jesus Christ is the bridge to connect us to God. Jesus Christ is the bridge to connect us to God because men have been separated from God through sin. And the Bible tells us the good news of God, the gospel. And now we're going to watch a video clip about the word gospel. I really love this video. It's quite cool.
It's the full story of life crushed into 4 minutes. The entirety of humanity in the palm of your hand, crushed into one sentence. Listen, it's intense, right? God, our sins, paying everyone life. The greatest story ever told that's hardly ever told. God. Yes? God. the maker and giver of life. And by life, I mean any and all manner and substance, seen and unseen, what can and can't be touched, thoughts, image, emotions, love, atoms, and oceans, God. All of it is handiwork, one of which is masterpiece, made so uniquely that angels look curiously. The one thing in creation that was made with his imagery, the concept so cold, it's the reason I stay bold, how God breathed in a man and he became a living soul. Formed with the intent of being infinitely, intimately fond, creator and creation held an eternal bond. And it was placed in perfect paradise till something went wrong. A species got deceived and started lusting for his job. An odd list of complaints, as if the system ain't working. And used that same breath he graciously gave us to curse him. And that sin seed spread through our soul's genome. And by nature of your nature, your species, you participated in the mutiny. Our, yes, our sins. It's nature inherited. Black in the human heart, it was over before it started. Deceived from day one and led away by our own lust. There's not a religion in the world that doesn't agree that something's wrong with us. The question is, what is it? And how do we fix it? Are we eternally separated from a God that may or may not have existed? But that's another subject. Let's keep grinding. Besides, trying to prove God is like deep in a lion, homie. It don't need your help. Just unlock the cage. Let's move on how our debt can be paid. Short and sweet. The problem is sin. Yes, sin. It's a cancer, an asthma. Choking out our life force, forcing separation from a perfect and holy God. And the only way to get back is to get back to perfection. But silly us, trying to pass the course of life without referring to a syllabus. This is us. Keep up your good deeds. Chant, pray, meditate. But all of that, of course, is spraying cologne on a corpse. Or you could choose to ignore it as if something don't stink. It's like stepping in dog poop and refusing to wipe your shoe. But all of that ends with how good is good enough. Take your silly list of good deeds and line them up against perfection. Good luck. That's life past your pay grade. The cost of your soul, you ain't got a big enough piggy bank. But you could give it a shot. But I suggest you throw away the list. Because even your good acts are an extension of your selfishness. But here's where it gets interesting. I hope you're closely listening. Please don't get it twisted. It's what makes our faith unique. Here's what God says is part A of the gospel. You can't fix yourself. Quit trying. It's impossible. Sin brings death. Give God his breath back. You owe him. Eternally separated. And the only way to fix it is someone die in your place. And that someone gotta be perfect. Or the payment ain't permanent. So if and when you find a perfect person, get him or her to willingly trade their perfection for your sin and death in. Clearly, since the only one that can meet God's criteria is God, God sent himself as Jesus to pay the cost for us. His righteousness, his death, functions as payment. Yes, payment. Wrote a check with his life, but at the resurrection we all cheered because that means the check cleared. Pierced feet, pierced hands, blood-stained son of man, fullness, forgiveness, free passage into the promised land. That same breath that God breathed into us, God gave up to redeem us. And anyone and everyone, and by everyone I mean everyone, who puts their faith and trust in him, and him alone, can stand in full confidence of God's forgiveness. And here's what the promise is, that you are guaranteed full access to return to perfect unity by simply believing in Christ and Christ alone. You are receiving life. Yes, life. This is the gospel. God, our sins, paying everyone life.
Wow. Life in six words. God, our sins, paying everyone life. Meaning that God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. There's nothing greater than that. Once you take that step and say, God, I believe in you, it lasts forever. No one can take that away from you. No one can take that away from you. So Jesus Christ has an invitation. He's saying, come. Come. My heart is open. My home is open for you. You have one thing that God has given us that is so amazing, that is so wonderful, is will. Is the will to choose. He didn't create us to be robots. He didn't create us to do whatever he says we must do. Walk, then you walk. Sit, then you sit. God gave us a choice. He says, there's life and there's death. It's your choice. But I suggest that you choose life. So in your life, how we live our lives, we have a choice to make whether we're going to end up in hell or in heaven. We have a choice to make. So Revelation 3 verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. They with me. I'll read it again. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. So God is saying, I'm here, I'm knocking, I'm busy knocking. I hear, I know that you're going through stuff. I know that you need me. Open the door for me. And it's the door of your heart. Open the door for me. I want to be there with you. You don't have to go through life alone. The word of God says, Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So Jesus Christ is there knocking at your door. What will you do? He's giving you an invitation. He says, come, I am the bridge. I can reconcile you with God. I can make you holy. I can make you perfect. So Jesus Christ is saying, come, walk with me. Let's cross over this bridge together. Where are you in this picture? Are you on that side, or are you on the cross making your way to God, or are you on the other side with God? Where are you? Answer that for yourself. And on this picture, do you have a personal relationship with God? And a personal relationship means there's a two-way conversation. Meaning you talk to at home, you talk to your family every day, you talk to your friends every day. That's why it's a relationship. So with God, do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you speak to him? And does he speak to you? Or would you like to have a personal relationship with God? Or do you already have a personal relationship with God? It's up to you to place yourself on that slide there. Are you ready to trust Jesus for your salvation? He's the only way to be saved. He is the only way to God and the only way to heaven. Firstly, you need to admit that you are a sinner. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 23, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, but I am made perfect through Christ. I am made righteous through Christ. Secondly, you need to believe that Jesus died for you. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So for you to become children, a child of God, you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And make it personal. He died for me. Don't look at other people around. Make it personal. He died for me. You know, why do you need to make it personal? It's because when you make it personal, it's going to be easy for you to share it with somebody else because it's your life. It's going to have more impact to people than when you're just telling somebody else's story. People are more likely to feel you and listen to you when you speak from the bottom of your heart, from something that you know. And then you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how salvation goes. You just confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's all. And then you pray. Here's this prayer. I would like us to stand and just read from that together and just pray this prayer in case there's someone here who wants to receive Christ, who says, Christ, my heart is open for you. You've been knocking. I've been hearing you knock. You've been knocking. Now I'm opening my heart to you. May you please all stand and just read that together. Right, on three. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. My good deeds can't save me. I believe you died for my sins to save me from sin and death. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Thank you. So if you've prayed this prayer, as John 1 says, you are now a child of God, and no one can take that away from you. If you prayed that prayer with your whole heart and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, no one is going to take that from you because now you have a right to be called a child of God. People may come or the devil may use other people to come to you and condemn you for the things that they've known that you've done. But God says, the slate is clean. I've wiped all that away. You are now a new creation. The slate is clean. So no one should condemn you. You must know and be bold and say, what I know is that Jesus Christ came, he saved me, he knocked at the door, I opened my heart, and I am a child of God. If there's anyone in here who wants to receive Christ or wants to rededicate their life to Christ, may we please raise your hand and then we'll pray. Then you can see either me, Debbie, Mark, or CK. Is there anyone who says, I want to receive Christ, or I'm a Christian, but I want to rededicate my life to Christ? Thank you, love. Thank you. May we please close our eyes and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you, thanking you, Lord, for the time that you have afforded us with. We give you glory and honor. And thank you, Lord, for the two young people who have given their lives to you or rededicating their lives to you. I thank you, Lord, that you touch lives and your word doesn't go back to you without doing its job. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for every young person who is in here, every teen and every adult leader who is in here, Lord, that, Lord, you are with us. And you see us, and you walk with us. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thus says your word. And thank you, Lord, that you keep your promises. You never fail us. Whatever we do, you're always there. And thank you for your story, Lord, because you as much as other people can look at your story and not believe, but thank you, Lord, that once we believe in you, we see the reality of your story. And I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The two young people who have given their lives to Christ, may please see Mark and Debbie, because there's only two. Debbie is that lady over there with the black hair. Mark is the other guy who's sitting next to her. next week, we're going to learn how to share God's story. Now we know God's story. We know how. We know all about it. We know that Jesus Christ came, he died. People believe in evolution, but God says, I created everything. So next week, we are going to learn how to share God's story. Thank you very much for making it today.